10 years ago, I spent my Memorial Day weekend in a different way than I normally would have. At that time in my life, I was pretty active as a cyclist, and that Memorial Day Monday would be spent riding a bicycle with several dozen friends over 100 miles to a state park and back home. We took all day and had a fabulous time. I always looked forward to it every year, all year round, too. However, in the year 2000, 10 years ago, I had a different set of priorities. About a month and a half from that day, I would get married, and there was a lot of work to do in order to prepare. We had an outdoor wedding at the farm, and there was a good deal of cleanup to do. There was some scrap to move, weeds to chop, things to get in order, and in a fantastic manner, with a lot of help, it managed to happen. Regardless, the way I spent my Memorial Day wasn't the only thing that would be different in that year. In that year, I got married, I sold a business, and I started down a completely different career path, from a bicycle mechanic to the ambition of being a graphic designer, something I had pretty much zero experience in. And then we moved into a new home as well. These were drastically different changes in my life, and they all happened in that cluster. But there was one that was even greater. At that time in my life, I chose to answer God's calling. In retrospect, I can see that He'd been working with me a long time, but it was at that point in life when I chose to embrace that call to change my life in a big way. Now, choosing to answer God's call was certainly the most significant change that I anticipate that I'll ever experience, and I'm glad that I have gone down that road. Now, change doesn't come easily. Answering this calling was really awkward at first. I celebrated different days. The way I spent my Saturdays was different. I owned a business, a retail business, and Saturday was a big day. I started holding different beliefs, really different beliefs, right? I came from a 180-degree perspective, and I started believing in God and believing that what the Bible said was true. I stopped celebrating other days that I had traditionally celebrated. I started keeping the Sabbath, as I mentioned. I started tithing. And most significantly, I started to believe in God, as I mentioned. Easy stuff, right? We all do it today. It's not that hard. Did you come out of the world too? Was it easy? It's a big change, right? Huge, really. Now, the problem is that I started to do most of these things before I completely understood them, and that's what was the cause of the discomfort. I didn't completely understand the significance of keeping the Sabbath. I didn't really know why I was doing it, yet I was committed to doing it. I didn't completely understand the meaning of the holy days, yet I still committed myself to keeping those holy days. If you look at it objectively, it doesn't make sense, right? Why are you doing this if you don't get it completely? However, what I did know is that God placed these instructions and these commandments in the Bible for a reason. And that reason was not for those instructions to be ignored, but to be followed. And what I've found is that the more I tried to learn and get understanding, the more I was blessed with it. So over time, that discomfort fell away. And now I'm much more confident in this way of life. Now, as I mentioned, the process is truly uncomfortable. Choosing to do the right thing is difficult. Ironically, choosing to do the right thing felt really uncomfortable and wrong, right? However, I do want to make a distinction, and that is between being uncomfortable in doing something and feeling wrong in doing something. Feeling wrong is a completely separate thing to take note of. Being uncomfortable in doing something is not the same thing as feeling wrong when you're doing something. feeling wrong is not what I want to get into today. What I do want to talk about is that feeling of uncomfortability, that discomfort, and how to overcome it. The process is scary. When we are going into an unknown territory, it is uncomfortable. So I want to take a look at some inspiring examples today, looking at some people who were able to overcome their discomfort. The greatest example that I can find, or that comes to mind, is that of Abraham. Or in this case, Abram, as he was called. And I'll have you turn over to Genesis 12, and we'll read verses 1 through 8. Genesis 12, starting in verse 1. And this is when Abram is asked to leave his country. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. It's pretty easy to gloss over what's happening here. This is a tremendous, significant change in Abram's life. He got up and went. God asked him to move, and he moved. On our way in to church this morning, we saw a moving truck, and my wife commented, "Boy, I really don't like moving." Could you imagine moving all the things that Abram moved? He was 75, you know, not a young buck anymore, and he had a lot of possessions. A lot of people were in his family. He moved a lot. His circumstances were difficult to pick up and move, especially to a place that was largely unknown. That's an assumption that we might make, is that it was an unknown territory. But let's think about it. You know, maybe it wasn't so hard. I doubt that. But thinking about another example, which I'll simply cite, Abraham also was placed in a position of discomfort when God asked him to sacrifice his son. If moving wasn't hard, I guarantee that being asked to sacrifice your son, your only son, certainly was. Yet, Abraham followed through. He was faithful, and he overcame that discomfort, knowing that what he was doing was the right thing to do, obeying God. Truly inspiring, really. The Bible also has corresponding examples where people, instead of overcoming their discomfort, recoil from their discomfort and don't do the right thing. They choose to do what is within their comfort zone in a worldly sense. Just citing some examples we might be familiar with, Jonah was asked by God to prophesy. He ran away. He didn't want to do it. Saul, King Saul, he was instructed by God to do things in God's way. He did things his own way. The Israelites coming out of Egypt, they didn't comply with God's way. They did what was comfortable to them. And there are several other stories. The book of Judges is riddled with them. However, one of the most succinct and relevant and meaningful in the application in our lives today is that of the rich young ruler. And I'll have you turn over to Mark 10, and we'll read that example. It's Mark 10, verses 17 through 22. Now he, speaking of Jesus, was going out on the road. One came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Verse 21. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Not unlike Abraham, right? Abraham had great possessions. God asked him to do something. Abraham was willing. This rich young ruler was not willing. He did not feel comfortable leaving his possessions. So he didn't. And this is the kind of attitude that excludes us from qualifying for the kingdom of God. Coming out of the world, living in a way that is consistent with God's teachings, is not said to be comfortable. Not at all. On the contrary, Jesus promises the opposite. It will be very difficult. It is challenging to constantly ask ourselves where we can grow, what can we correct. And he mentions this in a specific way in Matthew 10, and I'll read verses 34 through 39. Matthew 10, starting in verse 34. "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." How uncomfortable is that, right? "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it." If you stay within your bounds of comfort, within your life that you live on this earth, the odds are good that you will not qualify for the kingdom. That comfort of our of things that we don't need to be faithful in, those things prevent us from being faithful. "But he who loses his life for my sake will find it." If you try to overcome your discomfort in coming out of the world, we will find eternal life. Now, another example, which I won't go into, is that of Paul. Paul is he went through an amazing conversion. If you recall, going over to Acts chapter 9, I'll try to cite a few relevant scriptures here. Reading in Acts 9, and I'll look at, let's go to verse 5. Saul at this time is walking down the road to Damascus, and he is a tremendous persecutor of the Christians. And he is confronted by God. In verse 4, I'll go ahead. "Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" I'll stop there. What an amazing attitude, right? Paul doesn't know, Saul at this time doesn't know exactly what he's going to be asked to do, but he suddenly is willing to do it. That is the kind of attitude, being able to overcome the comfort of our lives and being willing to make a significant change in our lives. This is repentance, right? Seeing what's wrong and correcting our paths. And as we know from what the Bible teaches, Paul does overcome. He repents and goes down the right path that God, and God used him as a tremendous tool. Is the same thing happening to us? Is he using us as a tool? Is he using this church to communicate his word? Absolutely. And we're a part of it, every single one of us. Brethren, how are we responding when we are asked to change? Are we saying to God, "What do you want me to do?" Or are we saying, I don't want to know what you want me to do. I'd rather run away. Do we feel discomfort when we're faced with the need to do something that's right in the sight of God? And we're told to come out of this world, and it's not easy, as Jesus mentions. But if we are going through our lives in a state of comfort, where we're not challenged, we really need to ask ourselves if our path is straight, or if we might have an attitude that could be lukewarm. We might consider it. Now, the good news is that in the places where we feel discomfort, this is probably an opportunity for us to overcome. We're told to overcome. This is how we can identify the places to grow. Do you feel uncomfortable? I hope so. Now, this is one of the most significant things that we are instructed to do, is to grow. Now, the challenge, of course, is getting through the discomfort that is required.